on the inside. Let's go, let's take it where your friends might not know. Yes, take them to the riverside. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dropping Wisdom with Santos podcast. And today I have a new guest. Please introduce yourself and tell us what this podcast is going to be about today.
All right. My name is Matt Locke-Lopes, and this podcast is going to be about whatever Santos asked me, I guess. I mean, we can go all over the place. Right now we're in Incredible Tattoo here in Virginia Beach, sitting around the round table.
Yeah. Tell everybody your Instagram name.
Oh, I had to look it up, but I think it's Matt Locke-Lopes, MattLocK, last name's Lopes, LOPES, tattoos on Instagram.
And what about your Incredible Tattoo Instagram?
Yeah, it's I think it's Incredible Tattoo VB, maybe.
Okay, and Incredible is INKCREDIBLE. Because you're a big Incredible Hulk guy.
Love Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, Ink, INK, because you're tattooing.
Yep.
Because right, yep, I misspelled that because I just put INK readable without the C.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, so now I get it because you have a very Incredible Hulk theme going on. Absolutely. In your studio, which is awesome. I love that. He's one of my favorite characters.
Dude, actually. He's the best.
Yeah. All right, let's get right into it, man. How did you get into this line of work?
Okay, so I was playing music at the time. A friend of mine, I was taking him home like around 7 o'clock at night. And at the time, I was doing electrical, so I had to wake up really early in the morning. And he asked me, why do I have to go home so early? And I said, I have to wake up at like 4 in the morning to go to work. And he said, you know what? Screw that, bro. You can tattoo. And I was like, oh, are you for real? And he's like, yeah, he didn't even know if I could draw or anything. We just played music. And sure enough, he's like, yeah, draw some stuff up. I'm going to introduce you to this guy. And I started drawing stuff again. And this was the time of MySpace. You know, back in the MySpace days, and I was posting all these drawings and people would message me, is this you? Did you really do this? And I'm like, yeah, I really did this. Why would I just steal stuff and say I did it? But that's really how I got into it. It was a whole bunch of like trial and error, people helping me not quit. I tried to quit so many times.
So can you be a tattoo artist without being able to draw?
Yeah, so the original tattoo artists were just, you know, machinists, welders, stuff like that. So I mean, our whole art kind of comes from that. So it's like you can be ingenuitive and create stuff and just follow a stencil. I mean, that's where traditional tattoos come from, you know. But now it would help to be an artist, but you don't have to be an artist. Absolutely not. I think that would, in today's culture, yeah, 100% it would help you, because just making good judgments. I mean, I feel like that every tattoo, good tattoo comes out of taste. So if you have bad taste, you're gonna make a bad tattoo. So it's more to have a better taste of like what is good, so you can give people what is good, but you know.
But there are some times in which someone comes at you and says, hey, I want you to tattoo this, and it gives you an image. And all you would do is what's the software system that you would do in order to print that out and to put it on their body for you to just basically trace it out and then tattoo it? What's the process of you turning that piece of paper or that piece of art that they give you into a computer software system in order to print it out and stencil it?
Okay, so when people come in, like clients, to get tattooed, I think a majority of the time they have a general idea. People typically don't want exactly what they're showing you. It's just a language in the art to be like, I want this, but you have to say, okay, why do you want this? What does this mean? Like, why are you getting this? So then people say, I just think it's cool. And you're like, okay, you think it's cool. I'm going to make my own version of this. But sometimes people have a deeper meaning and you can help guide them to something even better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people see your art. Even I do it when I go to tattoo artists. Sometimes I pick the wrong thing that the person doesn't even want to do. But I see it as a client. I'm like, this person does really good with lines or whatever. I think this imagery would be perfect for them. So that's what people are doing, is basically coming to you with the idea. The way I do it is basically, say you come in and you say, I want whatever. It's my idea is something thoughtful, something that represents strength. I want a tiger or something like that. And you kind of guide them through add some color, black and gray. And then I actually design everything in AI using Midjourney. So basically, Midjourney is a AI program. It's like one of the leading image based programs. It runs through Discord. You just put commands and descriptions in of what you're trying to do. Push enter. It keeps feeding you stuff out. But you know, even when it comes to like a full sleeve, it's not going to print out a full sleeve. So what you have to do is basically make things that are similar looking, and that builds the picture. So it's basically like a casting agent, you know what I'm saying? For a movie, you need this part, you need this part, you need this part. And then you just gather them all together. And then I pull that into Photoshop, and then everything's edited on the people's body part. So basically, another thing that I've actually started doing is taking Saran wrap and wrapping the body part. People think they're like being like a piece of meat or something. I package them like a piece of meat, wrap them a Saran wrap really tight, either the arm, the leg, whatever the body part is. And I Sharpie where the back of the arm is, elbow, like all these key points. And then where I know the vanishing point is, I'll cut that whole thing off. And then I just lay it on the ground or on a wall. And then I can take a better picture of how their body actually fans out to where if you like took the skin and filleted it out, how everything will be placed. I take that with the picture that I took of them. And then I pull that into Photoshop so I know placement and all that.
Okay, could you talk about the licenses, certificates, permits that you need, especially for the city of Virginia Beach? Because, you know, things are different per city as well.
Yeah, you have to have business license. You have to have your health department. That's pretty much Virginia Beach standards for tattooing in Virginia. You have to have a DPOR shop license. You have to have your own license, your personal license. If you're just an artist, all you have to have is just your personal license through DPOR.
How often do you have to renew that stuff?
Every 3 years. I have my manager pretty much does all that stuff. You have to take bloodborne pathogen.
What's that mean?
A bloodborne pathogen is like a class that teaches you cross-contamination, how to like prevent like, you know, spread of disease.
Oh, okay.
So you have to do continued education through DPOR approves things like a first aid CPR. You have to take that. And they're all over time. So like, you know, one might be only good for a year. One might be good for 3 years. And then you just have to just stay up on the stuff. But yeah, they require you to do that in the state of Virginia.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. Explain the business part of a tattoo studio. Because I know, like when it comes to my buddy that owns a barbershop, each seat, the barber pays a monthly fee. Okay. Do you do a monthly fee or do you do a percentage of what they make? Or how does that go for the owner to the tattoo artist?
Okay, so that all depends on how the tattoo shop is ran. So this tattoo shop is artist owned and operated. So basically, this is more of like a true collective. Like when people say a collective, it's just a bunch of people chipping in to pay the bills. That's basically how it is here. Everyone, we call it like the tattoo apartment complex. You know, this person just has a room here, this person has a room here, but it's not taking a big percentage of what they're making. We have really high quality tattoo artists here, and they could just go off and open their own shop. So basically the goal is to have it affordable for them to be here in a rent fashion, to where it's basically cheaper to work here than it would be to go out, get your own insurance, get your own all these other things, and also all the responsibility that comes along with that. So that's how I run this. I'd rather have this to be like a more of a like an ecosystem than a tattoo shop, and more of like a gathering of artists being inspired, not worrying about money, not worrying about how much they're paying the dude that owns it, you know, because there's other tattoo shops that are ran like that. If you have people that, it depends. So it's very vast. So say, for instance, you are running a tattoo shop that's really busy and you have tons of walk-ins and you just have all the business. You can charge the tattoo artist whatever percentage that you deem necessary. You could do 50-50 because honestly, that shop deserves that in that situation. So, you know, because all the artist has to do is show up. Oftentimes they'll pick the design already. So they just have to do just the tattooing aspect of it.
Do they also get to pick their own work schedule?
No. Okay. So typically that's like during hours of operation, a shop like that's ran. So then they can be consistent. You know what I'm saying? You need to make sure that you have artists in that business model. So that it's all based on business model, because then you could have another shop that say they're trying to charge their artists 50-50, but they're also, that artist is having to go out and gather their clients. The artist is, has all this extra work. So it's basically, in my opinion, just because 50-50, someone says, oh, the shop's 50-50, that doesn't mean it's a good deal, and it doesn't mean it's a bad deal. It's however that shop is presenting that to you. If you have no work and they're getting you work, that's a part of your job. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm doing the tattoos, I should get all the money. Yeah, cool. If you literally just stayed in a room and you did tattoos and you didn't post anything, you didn't go do, get your certificates, dude, yeah, perfect life. But you're not going to do that. You have all this time, and time is money, you know? Yeah, you could tattoo 4 hours in a room, but you're going to be doing 4 hours of designing all this other stuff. So the less you have to do, the more the shop deserves, you know? Mm. But in this situation, like I said, we try to do it to where it's a low enough amount to where the artists are like, hey, this is my portion. And then, you know, I still pay in. I'm part of the community too, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just sitting back waiting, you know, taking vacations and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm tattooing alongside everybody else, you know?
Yeah, what are your likes and dislikes about tattooing?
I love all of tattooing. I love every design. I'd say I really don't have any dislikes, to be honest with you. I really have to think about that. I love every aspect of tattooing.
Like, it's always good to love what you do, man.
Yeah, people complain about clients, but oftentimes when people complain about clients, it's just their unwillingness to educate people because they're not tattoo artists. And you got to remember, that's another thing that's really big with me, is remember that you are a client at some point in your life too. So, you know, when you have tattoo artists that show up late or cancel on you or come in on drugs or
are hungover, just
hungover or whatever, it's like, you know, I remember, yo, I took off work for this. I took off work for this and I'm paying you money. You're not ready and you're probably not even here. You're gonna show up late. You're gonna not do a great job. Like, why would you do that? So a lot of tattooers, I feel like, miss that aspect of tattoo, and then they want to complain about a client. It's like, well, you know, like my dad always says, is, you know, when you point the finger, you have three fingers pointing back at you. So in that situation, the client's probably not to blame. Now, there are bad clients, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not to be, but I feel like I have a really good screening process of even getting a, like, I feel like I don't even have bad clients, because when
that's
I talk
great.
To them, yeah, because you just need to talk to people, and everybody needs to be, you just need to know, read the room.
Yeah, lots of times, a good relationship is all about communication.
100.
Yeah. What do you find most challenging?
Oh, time management. Time management. I sign up for like way, you know, my schedule's always slam-packed. I'd say like not like being so tunnel vision about everything. Not trying to figure out tattooing every waking moment of the day. Or something else like the Amazon, you know, Amazon FBA that I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you that. Okay, that's going to be one of my last questions. Yeah,
I just always put, I feel like that if I'm, it's a joke, but I always say that if you're not living on the verge of a panic attack, are you really living, you know?
What is most rewarding?
Most rewarding is being able to provide for my family, being able to do what I love every single day. Being able to make people smile, make people happy, change people's lives, not only from the tattoo art, but like, you know, in a way we're therapists. So sometimes, you know, a word of wisdom or just something that people didn't think about, something, because I think outside the box a lot, the reflection that they needed to see to like forever change their life. I've had people, clients that they hated their job and they come in here and like, I hate my job. And I'm like, okay, well, what else do you do? And I do this other side job and it makes this much. And I'm like, why are you at that one job? So I do a lot of like reflective stuff with people and just like, you know, I want to change people's lives. You know, I want to help people. And I think that's the thing with tattooing is it's not, I feel like the tattoo is such a small portion of the whole journey. Like, a tattoo is a controlled scar. So you have scars from fun, you know, riding your bike, jumping off a ramp and falling off. Or you have scars that you don't want to tell me what the scar's from. You know, that's like a tattoo. If someone gives you a good experience and it was just the greatest time, they want to share who did that. But then if it was a bad time, the people were late again, back to like just people that don't really care, they don't want to tell you who did the tattoo because they don't want you to have a bad experience too.
Yeah. What advice would you offer someone considering about being a tattoo artist?
Okay, so I would say the misconception is money. So if this is what you're trying to do to get money, just stop. Because you have, like, whatever your job is right now, when you leave that door, it probably doesn't call you unless you're a manager someplace. You can turn it off. Once you start tattooing, you can't turn it off. Like, it's 24 hours. People are messaging you. You have responsibilities. You have more responsibilities than you can even imagine. But you're thinking, oh, this person's just drawing on people all day and it's so easy. So that was one of the things I would consider. The other thing would be have a good portfolio, really impressive work, good work ethic. A lot of people say go to tattoo studios and get tattooed by tattoo artists. I say that's a pretty good one. But majority of the time, if you just showed up with an amazing portfolio and like realistically can take constructive criticism, I think that's the biggest thing. Even when I teach my apprentices that if you can't take constructive criticism, like, dude, you need to listen, because obviously there's a source. Some people are just out there to hurt your feelings, to know the difference. But still, even the person trying to hurt your feelings, they still saw something to say something. So like everyone's opinion does matter, and being in a place that you can take other people's opinions and not get upset, like separating yourself from the actual, you know, art that you're making. I don't know if that was all off subject.
It's all good, man. You're just dropping wisdom. That's all you're doing, buddy. How were you treated as an apprentice, and how do you treat your apprentices?
Okay, so I did multiple tattoo apprenticeships. I was an electrician. I did a 5-year apprenticeship through Local 80. So then, you know, I did a lot of, dealt with a lot of different personalities in that, you know, the construction field, every walks of life. So that was, I kind of take that into my apprenticeship, how I teach apprentices. So just certain things that I learned from that, that is more like, you know, construction oriented and not super soft, I guess. But as far as tattoo apprentice, like how I was as a tattoo apprentice, is I've had multiple ones. So, and I really didn't have like a traditional apprenticeship. I've had people just help me along the way, you know, here and there. But so it's kind of hard to say, like, every way I just try to gather. I'm like a gatherer, you know. I'm just like, okay, I learned this from this person, you know, I don't know how else to answer that. But as far as how I treat my apprentice, I just treat him super fair. I hold him to a standard to make sure that he's doing right by people, doing right by himself, time management. I just share everything that I have. And also, he learned really early that I'm not going to sugarcoat something. Like, if you come to me with a drawing that is not very good, I'm going to tell you it's not very good, but I'm going to tell you why it's not very good and how you can improve it. Same with his tattoos. He might do a really good tattoo, and I'm the person, he goes all around, shows everyone else the tattoo, and everyone's like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, yeah, you need to do this, this, and this. And it's not to make him belittle. I want him to make the best decision, so when I'm not around, he's killing it. So I feel like I treat him pretty fair, and I just want him to succeed. You know, he's my legacy. He's like, he's actually the only apprentice that I've ever had. I've only had a few, but he's the only person that's seen it through. He's about to take his test, get his license. Super proud of him. He's super, super good guy.
How long usually take, like 2 years?
No, so it all depends on how you are listening, how you're learning, how much dedication you are here, how much time you're devoting to the shop. All that. I kind of go based on that. So, you know, sometimes I like to throw, like, I like to throw him to the wolves. Like, okay, this guy thinks that he can do this. Okay, boom, show me. And then when he realizes that, hey, I can't do that. All right, cool. let's go back and I'm going to tell you how to do this so then you can do that better. So I think sometimes in tattooing is the more you can make someone uncomfortable and then they can learn from that to make themselves comfortable to not make that mistake. It's going to chime.
It's all good. Oh, he's one of the artists.
This is my apprentice.
I see your apprentice coming in. Yeah. Oh, sweet. Hey, what's up, buddy?
I'm Ben.
Santos.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, brother. What is the common misconception people have about what you do?
That it's easy, that you're rich, that it's always fun, that you always want to do it. I think that's probably the most misconception. That or you're criminal. Maybe people don't think that so much anymore, but there was a time that, a lot of organized crime ran tattooing. So if you're old school, maybe you think that. But I really think that now I don't think there's too much negative thought about it.
What do you wish your customers would know or do before or when they walk into your shop?
Okay, ask that again.
What do you wish your customers would know or do before they walk into your shop?
I'd say do your research, read reviews. Look at the artist's profile. A lot of times I'll try to talk or, speak so you can actually know who I am. Make sure that you like everything that I do. So when you come here, you have the trust. Basically, coming into a tattoo shop with trust is everything. But if you haven't done the research and you don't have the trust, it's understandable. But do the research. That's a big thing for me. When I get tattooed, just because someone is good at tattooing doesn't mean I want to get tattooed by them, because you're going to sit there forever. Even if it's a one session thing, I want that to be a good experience. I've had several bad experiences, so I want to have a good experience and I want them to have a good experience, and we need to make sure that we click. So, a lot of times that's what I tell artists here is make a video of you talking so people can hear your voice, because even if you go to the gym, me and you know each other from the gym, and you see across and you see this big muscly dude, and you think he's like, bro, he talks like this, and then you go up to him like, hey man, how's it going? Like, hey, you just like your perception of people.
Is that what you thought of me, man?
Yeah. Well, I just seen you bobbing your head, so I was just probably like, he's just like, probably like, boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom.
Is it true that an artist doesn't like to copy others' work and prefer not to finish another artist's piece on someone?
Okay, so that's a two-part question.
Yeah.
The first question is, do people not like reproducing other people's work? That is totally, in my opinion, false, for the simple fact that it depends, I guess, on what it is. If you're copying an actual tattoo on someone, yeah, that's a no-go. Do not do that. That's not okay. But actually, things like flash sheets, things from traditional times, that's what they were doing. They would duplicate other people's designs. That's what traditional people still do. They take, sometimes they're drawing their own stuff, but a lot of it's like inspired by people that came before them, because it's perfect. There's a lot of like, you don't want to change it because then it's not that image anymore. That's what I feel like the misconception that people have as tattoo artists. They come in here and they're like, I don't want to copy people's stuff. So they draw this awful tiger. They draw these awful finger waves. They draw these things that they don't know that fundamentally it's this way. A lot of stuff is based in copying. Also things like dragons. So if you ain't going to copy someone else's dragon, where are you going to, you're going to go to the local dragon zoo?
Yeah.
You're going to go find a kappa, like some, you know what I'm saying? You're going to, like, there's things that there isn't reference for. The only reference is emulation, going back through books and stuff like that and educating yourself, copying, tracing, all of that stuff. Even realism artists, we are duplicating an image, The thing great with AI is, when you have like the Midjourney, I own that image. So it's not just pulled off the internet. Before Midjourney existed, everything was getting pulled off of Pinterest, Bing, because I'm doing, realism. I'm not going to go out and be like, oh, you want a dolphin tattoo? All right, check this out. You're going to have to make the appointment 2 weeks from now, because I'm going to set up this dolphin tour. I don't know how to scuba dive, but I'm going to learn it. And then I'm going to grab this camera and I'm going to go take some pictures for your tattoo. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to replicate stuff. Finishing all that stuff about the people's tattoos, I think that all depends in the situation. A lot of times if it's far enough along, a lot of tattoo artists don't want to go into it because there's either like already bad mistakes that are made that are like beyond correcting. So that's why a lot of people want to do cover-ups, because it's hard to take, it's like building a house. A tattoo is like building a house. So if the foundation is awful, it's built out of styrofoam, and you're trying to like, hey man, can you build the walls on the styrofoam? And you're like, nah bro, it's gonna collapse. You need to rip out this, and you need to put the center block, you know, foundation. So I feel like a lot of stuff like that, like if you're touching, like I have clients that I tattoo and they have older tattoos, the tattoo artist isn't here, the tattoo was great, it just needs to be touched up. I think that's fair game. You're trying to help the people. The tattoo, it's not about bottom line. Like I said, it's so many levels to this. But if I did a half sleeve on you and you had a little tattoo on your leg that just needed touching up, it was 10 years old and the person, the tattoo artist is dead, touch it up for the person. You're trying to make them, help them. And I would hope that people would do that same thing for me. If I did a back piece on somebody, or if I did an upper half sleeve and someone did the lower sleeve and it was older, and the person's like, I need to go back in and tie this, I don't want to touch the person's work, it's like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
You know, what you need to do is do what's right for the client in that situation. But you have to know when to do the right thing and when it's not the right thing. You understand?
What do you specialize in tattoos? Because I know like certain shops, oh, you want this kind of tattoo? This guy does this and this guy does that.
Okay. Yeah, so I do large scale. I do color in black and gray. I'd say it's like painterly realism. I really like to do a lot of Japanese inspired things. You know, the flow, everything about Japanese tattooing I love, and I try to integrate that into my design process. But yeah, I would say more like a painterly realism. So it's like a realistic image that is painted.
What do you think was your coolest tattoo you ever done?
Oh, I mean, that's pretty hard. I'd say like I have favorites, and I'd say that every favorite tattoo would probably be something that's like very open, not overly detailed, just super. Like I have this tattoo I did. It's off of Mary. It's opaque gray, which means like the color gray, not like a gray wash. And it's got red in it. So it's just that and a lot of black. It's just super visible. I like stuff that when you look at it, when I do it, because I have a tendency to make things really like super detailed. So sometimes I like the breath of fresh air to where it's just like boom, like it's more like a stamp, like illustrated.
Have you ever had someone had an allergic reaction? Or pass out?
Oh, pass out. Yeah, pass out, I feel like, goes through like waves. I feel like a lot of people, I haven't, knock on wood, I'm going to knock on, now you can hear that on the phone. But I feel like that goes through waves. I haven't had people pass out in a minute because I make sure, I mean, we keep soda, water, coffee, snacks. There's no reason to pass out. A lot of times when people pass out, it's just from like the excitement. And I think by the time you get here, we get the stencil going, you've already ridden the roller coaster of excitement, and now you're ready to get the tattoo. But I feel like back in time, yeah, people that didn't eat correctly, maybe not enough sleep or whatever, yeah, I've had people pass out.
What's the best way to prevent it? Because I heard someone say even like a candy bar or a can of soda beforehand or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So what I do is just make sure you have your stomach full. So basically when you start getting tattooed, it's attacking your immune system. Basically, you know, your body's reading it as skin damage, and it immediately it starts trying to repair. That's why blood surfaces, tries to form a scab, all that stuff. So when that happens, your immune system's going, right? You just need to feed it. So oftentimes I notice even myself when I get tattooed, if I have an empty stomach, things hurt worse. So I always try to stay full. Like if my artist goes and he goes, takes a smoke break, takes a pee break, whatever, or he or she, I'll jam, eat some crackers, eat a couple, you know, Starbursts, whatever. Like if you have a diet plan, do not bring that to the tattoo situation. Don't, you know, snack on your salad.
So luckily and dangerously, you live next door, or you work next door to a pizza shop.
Oh yeah,
goodness! I've been eating pizza every day.
Yeah, pizza and cookout. Cookout's the everyone's.
Oh yeah, yeah. Their milkshakes are cookout, boy.
Oh yeah,
How do you charge? Is it like per size or per hour kind of a deal? How do you decide how to charge?
Okay, so I charge by hour. The reason I do that is factored. So basically everything that I tattoo, I pretty much know how many sessions it takes. Typically, like the outside of a half sleeves, four sessions, a full half sleeves, six sessions, a full sleeves, anywhere from 8 to 12 sessions. A session's like anywhere from 4 to 5 hours at a time. So like I can get people more like, okay, a back piece is around 40 hours. So then people know, they can have an expectation of how much it's going to cost. But I charge by the hour. I don't think, especially as like someone that has an apprentice that's doing other stuff, I don't like charging by the day, because again, I think of myself as a client and I'm thinking, hey, this person went peed, you know, start counting how many times the people peed because you're paying for the all day. So that's how I factor everything in. It's just by the hour, basically.
And so how do you deal with the hygiene and safety regulations? Like, how do you make sure your stuff is clean?
Oh, just training. Years and years and years and years of training. Like, that's what our apprenticeship's for. That's what the bloodborne pathogens are for. That's all the, like, just the learning. Learning the whole path. That's just stuff that's instilled in you, you know? That's just 101, tattooing 101. And like I said,
have you ever turned a customer away because they were like drunk or high or something like that? Or like, hey man, I can't do you. You're too drunk or something like that too? Because isn't that because it thins up their blood and they could easily bleed?
Yeah, I think that's more of a street shop thing, because I feel like that if you come here, you know, it's, like I said, it's a whole screening. And say, for instance, you were tore up, whatever, how long is that gonna last? You know what I'm saying? You gotta be here for 5 hours, bro. So yeah, like, you know, if you want to set yourself up for failure, go ahead and do that. But I've never had that, honestly.
How do you prep the area?
Okay, for the tattoo?
Yeah.
So basically I either use Hustle bubbles to shave the area, or I use green soap. I make sure it's lathered up really good. And just basically, you know, I'm a bald man, so I know how to shave. And I shave the person's body part, make sure you got all the hair off of it. And then I clean their skin again with green soap. And then after that, I clean it again with alcohol. So basically alcohol will remove all the oils, because sometimes, say for instance, you go to put the stencil on, the stencil sticks to like oil-based stuff. So like it could mess your stencil up. So I like to make sure that the skin's nice and dry. So then I apply the stencil and then you start the party.
Well, what do you tell the customer to do before the session?
Okay, so
basically make sure they eat.
Yeah, so like a couple things that you can do is make sure that you eat, get a good night's sleep, try not to drink the night before, make sure that you stay hydrated. If you have dry skin, start putting on lotion days before to just treat the area, because if you have dry skin, it's not gonna take the ink the best, in my opinion. I feel like that having moisturized skin is important. Don't worry about shaving the area, because a lot of people will do that and come in, either nick themselves or they have ingrown hairs or something like that. So leave the shaving up to the artist, but apply lotion, make sure you're staying dry, like I said.
How do you properly take care of the tattoo when it's done?
Okay, so that's basically person to person. So we actually use this stuff called Derm Shield. It's like a second skin. So basically, it depends on the amount of trauma that day, the amount of coverage, the amount of saturation. But typically you put it on, you do the tattoo, you wait a little bit, let them finish doing the bleeding. The bleeding will stop. You clean the area with witch hazel, which is an astringent, pulls the oils out again, so the sticky stuff will adhere to it. You cover it up. It like looks transparent. Sometimes you can't even see that it's on. You can see the tattoo. And you leave that on for 4 or 5 days. You don't do anything except for avoid, you know, the gym. Don't go to the gym. Hot showers, because that's actually how you take it off. And the thing that trips people out, probably a lot of what people see on the internet are like the sacks, like the sacks of like fluid in the, mm-hmm. the Derm Shield. A lot of people worry about that and say, oh man, this thing's like full of this, all this goo and stuff. But actually that's what's so great about that stuff, is taking all those fluids and using that to heal your tattoo quickly. The only reason that you would take it off is if it had like a breach, if it was leaking, or if it was started peeling up, but then you could reapply it. So, I mean, that's one way of healing a tattoo, but there's so many ways to heal a tattoo, man. It's like, how many ways is there to do a tattoo is how to heal a tattoo. I used to do wet healing, which is a whole nother process. It's basically whatever the artist tells you, but sometimes I'll even ask the client, hey, how did this work for you? And they're like, oh man, I didn't like that. Okay, so what do you want to try? And then they'll, like, I have a guy, he refused Derm Shield. He'll only wet heal, which is like, you know, using saran wrap, cleaning the tattoo more often. But a lot of people love the Derm Shield because there's no maintenance to it. You leave it on, don't mess with it. When you have things like wet heal, you have to change it every 4 to 6 hours.
Ooh, so that's a hassle.
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah. Back in the day, being a construction worker, okay, so now on your lunch break, in the 30 minutes that you have to eat, now you have to wash this and hopefully a clean sink somewhere and rewrap it and all this. It's a mess.
All right, well, I'm pretty much done with the tattoo talk.
Okay, cool.
Okay? Let's talk about your Amazon, because I know I'm a big-time Amazon buyer.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about it before. What does it take to be an Amazon seller? Oh. And what do you plan on selling?
Oh, yeah. So it's just a whole bunch of hoops to jump through. I sell two products on Amazon under the Inkredible name, again with the I and K, starting. And one of the products I sell is an invention that I made, where it's basically a ballpoint pen in a tattoo cartridge, like how you could put it in a modern tattoo machine and be able to practice basically using a tattoo machine drawing with it. Your kids could use it. It's super fun. I made that just talking to somebody. I saw a lot of people doing that online. They were taking, like, straight up making these little rigged up pins on like a little drive and running on like traditional tattoo tubes. And this was before it all blew up. But I was like, I could just take a ballpoint pen and get this piece and make it go together. And that's what I did, and ended up getting it engineered and made. And that's one of the products. But the funny story with that is I almost gave up on that too. And I'm still trying to make it work. But I think it was like November 2 years ago, other people came out with it. Cause you know, when you have a good idea, it's not just your good ideas. Other people probably had that idea too. And it's just such a slow process to get something started. So people sent me a video. They say, please tell me this is your product. And I said, no, it's not my product. I was like at the CHKD emergency room. My son like had a high fever, and I'm like, oh man, I'm just defeated. Like, I put all this time into it, and you know, started thinking about, you know, Pepsi or Coke. There's just not one. So I kept with it. So a lot of people will say, oh, he didn't invent that. Well, you're right. I invented my version of it, but I didn't know about everyone else's version that was going to come out while I was developing this one. So I have that product, and I have sleeves, UV sleep covers. So basically, I have solid designs that are coming out, but they're basically look like tattoo designs that you pull over your arm that are UV protected. They're sweat wicking material to protect your tattoo or protect your skin, you know. So the
Do you also sell that in the shop?
I do, but not. It's not my, like, my main thing is Amazon. Like, Amazon is something that originally it all started with the pen, and we were just gonna make it and figure out how to like sell it. And then I was cutting grass one day, and I was like, how do you sell online? Because, you know, I'm obsessed about just finding out stuff. And this podcast came up about selling on Amazon, and I ended up listening to like 100 of the episodes, and I was like, yeah, I could do this. But now I'm deep in Amazon. I have a trademark for the name, so I'm A+ verified. I'm basically the highest level that you can be on selling, so you can have higher content, which is A+ content. But to get that, you have to first get a trademark for a logo. You have to apply for what's called brand registry, and then you have to turn in all this documentation of your LLC, all these credentials, in order to even get that. So there's so many obstacles right now. We're having an issue with advertisement. So with the pen, for instance, is a tattoo thing, right? Well, but it's not a tattoo thing. A kid could use it. So trying to place this with an ad with tattooing, where you're not allowed to advertise for tattooing on Amazon. You're allowed to sell tattoo products, but you can't advertise anything that's tattooing or branding. So it's kind of like, okay, how do you, it's like I said, it's a constant week to week obstacles to overcome. I don't even know if this is going to be the final step. I don't know if it's to find a distributor, go to a, you know, Shopify, go, I don't know what the steps are until I get to them. That's literally all Amazon is. It's literally getting from here to here. Oh, this is a door closed. Okay, how do you open this door? It's like a video game, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I open this door. Okay, now what door do you go through? And their response to you is so terrible. So if you have a problem with them and you message to them, okay, why can I not sell this XYZ? They'll just send you an email back that's like a click response. So they'll probably read like, what's the best response to send this person? There's no personalization at all. At one point, they did give me someone that was like a representative that called me. And he was like, I'm going to schedule a 15-minute phone call with you every week. And he said, but the next thing that you need to do is get A-plus verified. I said, okay, that's a long process getting, if anybody's ever got a trademark, it takes, I still don't have it. Mine's pending. But when you get the pending trademark, it's good enough. Well, what happened was I ended up getting all that information and I contacted a dude because he said, I'm not really going to mess with you until you get this. I said, okay, that's cool. So I went and got that. I hit him back up. I said, I need this. He goes, oh, yeah, this is the last thing I can do for you. Your time's ran out with me. And I'm like, wow, I only talked to this guy twice on the phone just because I didn't have A-plus content ready to rock and roll. Like, now they're not even answering me. So it's kind of, it's frustrating, but it's also fun because I feel like that it gives you, I'm a problem solver. So I like to have these. I mean, it's going to be cool when I can just sit back and it's like generating revenue and to feed other ideas I have. Because like the sleeves, once the sleeves pop off, we have like, I think 6 designs right now. Man, I would like to have so many designs you can choose from for people that don't have tattoos that would like to know what they would look like with tattoos, people to protect their skin. I mean, there's a whole level of it, you know? Expand from sleeves to maybe leggings, doing leggings, designing leggings like a tattoo. So then when you put them on, it looks like a tattoo on with you not even having, you know, you have a coverage, but be able to express yourself, you know? Like just, I have all these visions, but it's all like step by step, just like tattooing. It's, life is like that, you know, you have like this long-term goal and then you have to step. Enjoy the journey. That's what I do.
Are you ready for the Santos signature question?
Yeah, let's go.
Do you think you've ever witnessed a UFO or alien?
Absolutely.
Telling me the story.
Okay, so where I live is out in the country. I actually live in North Carolina. I work in Virginia Beach, but live in North Carolina. And where we live, they don't have trash pickup. You actually have, like, my dad made a jet ski trailer and put like a bunk bed, little cage, so you put all your trash cans on to protect it from the wildlife. And I was just going out and taking the trash out. So right next door to me is like an old farmhouse, like probably like 100 years 200 years old. And I didn't even know it was a this where I'm going to go with the story is crazy. So I go and I take the trash out. It was late at night, and I look over top of where this house is. There's no one living there. And I look in the sky, and it's like almost like moving really slow, like a blimp. But I don't know, like the footage, like on the average of like a little bit lower than like a pine tree, so like full height, okay? But it's like moving really slow, like a blimp. And there's like a light pattern. It's like a triangular light pattern. It goes like a light, and a light, where all the 3 points are, and then like a ring around that light. So like a, almost like a LED, like rip, rip, rip. And it was doing that boom, boom, boom. And around where all those lights were. So I went back in to tell the person I was living with, like, hey, yo, come out here and check this out. There's like this crazy plane out here. And they're like, nah, I'm doing something. I said, okay. And everyone says, why didn't you just take a video of your phone? But by the time I went back out, it was far to the tree line. It was far away. And I said, oh man, that's crazy. By the time I was working in a tattoo shop where the guy was a super conspiracy theorist. Like, I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. So I go in there, but his son was also in the military. So I just trusted his, you know, wisdom. I said, hey man, what is a type of plane that is like a light, 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 and then like a circle, circle, circle around the light? And he goes, oh, that's a triangle UFO. And I'm like, dude, shut the hell up. And he's like, nah, seriously, come here. And we go on YouTube, and if you type in triangular UFO, that's exactly what I saw.
Damn.
Yeah, crazy. It was like to this.
Wait, did it have no sound?
No sound. No, I mean, it was like maybe like an AC unit being turned on. Very quiet. Like I said, it was moving like a blimp.
Huh.
But like a really low, and it was huge.
Damn.
It was huge.
Okay. Do you think you've ever witnessed paranormal activity?
No.
No?
No. 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 Never. Never have. Never want to, honestly. You know, I watch enough scary movies. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want Annabelle showing up to my door.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right, man. Well, thanks for being a guest on the podcast. And please tell everybody again the Instagram and Facebook page of Incredible and how they can contact you in the location.
Yep, absolutely. Again, I'm Matlock Lopes. It's MATTLOCK _ Lopes, LOPES. Tattoos on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook too. I think I've like reached my maximum capacity of friends on there, but you can follow my page. I post on there as well. The Incredible page is INKCREDIBLE tattoo. I believe it's VB or 757. I have other people to manage that. But the best way to contact us is either through email or just show up at the shop. You know, all consultations are free. So, yeah, just stop on by and check us out. Thank you.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.